Israeli forces attacked Palestinian protesters at the Temple Mount in East Jerusalem on Al-Quds as Israeli settlers were headed there to mark a religious holiday. Representatives of the Afghan government and the Taliban meet in Doha for a second day of peace talks as the militant group steps up its offensive across Afghanistan. And Indonesia registers a record number of doctors' deaths from the coronavirus in the first half of July. The country is struggling to slow the virus transmission. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Israeli forces and settlers have attacked Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Israeli forces beat Palestinians at the holy site and detained many of them. They also fired stun grenades and tear gas canisters at the worshippers. Palestinian officials condemn the attack. The Palestinian Authority accused Israel of tampering with the security and stability of the region by enabling what it called incursions against worshippers. Prime Minister Mohammed Shataya also slammed the raid. He urged the international community to urgently intervene to stop such violations. He also warned of the dangerous repercussions of the recurrence of such incursions. Well, we're going to cross over to Ramallah and get the latest on the situation. Mona Candil, fill us in on this latest situation. It seems that no matter what, Israel is continuing its aggression at Al-Aqsa compound.
1,200 Israeli settlers raided the mosque complex in groups. There were calls from the Israeli settlers groups in order to raid the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound to mark what the Israelis known the day of the destruction of the temple. That's why they raided the Islamic holy site through the Al-Maghariba gate, of course, under the protection of the Israeli forces and the Israeli police, who were considering what's going on is normal visits, not raids and incursions. These incursions, of course, are illegal. The settlers attacked the Palestinian worshippers there. The Israeli forces tried to force the people and the Palestinian worshippers out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to allow the settlers to move freely in the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. The Israeli settlers, the Israeli forces then sealed off all the gates leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the roads leading to the old town of Jerusalem, Al-Quds. They attacked the people. They fired heavy tear gas and stun grenades. They pulled the people out of the Muslim holy site. The Palestinian Authority condemned these incursions into the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they consider it illegal. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh called for international intervention in order to prevent such illegal practices by the Israeli settlers and the forces as well. This comes at a time. It's only 1 day or 2 days before Muslims would be celebrating the Al-Adha feast, the Al-Adha holiday. Of course, Palestinians would be trying to reach the Al-Aqsa Mosque to perform their prayers and to celebrate Al-Adha feast there. But this is could be seen as a first step by the Israeli regime in order to seal off maybe the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex and in order to impose strict measures on the Palestinians to prevent them from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque at a time the settlers are allowed to raid the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Palestinian Muslims, Palestinian worshippers are not allowed to move freely. They have only strict hours to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they are not allowed to stay there. Palestinian youths are forced to leave their ID cards at the checkpoints leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to force them to leave the site and not to stay there for long hours for prayers and to perform their rituals there.
Thanks so much for that update, Mona Kandil out of Ramallah. Meanwhile, Yemenis have distributed Eid al-Adha handouts among the Palestinian community in Sana'a. The handouts are a gift from the leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement, Abdul Malik al-Houthi. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Abdul Latif al-Washali, reports.
For the fourth year, the leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, presented a gift to the Palestinian community in Yemen. The gift is Eid al-Adha's handout for a large number of Palestinian families financed by the Political Bureau of Ansarullah.
Today, and for the fourth year, we're distributing a gift presented by our leader, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, to our Palestinian brothers. The gift is handouts of Eid al-Adha. This move is meant to emphasize the Yemenis' love and respect for the Palestinian community in Yemen. This is a humble effort, and the Palestinians deserve much more than this. We hope our Palestinians' brothers will accept this modest gift.
Palestinians said this gift is another proof of the generosity of the Yemeni people, even though they are going through a humanitarian situation due to an all-out blockade imposed by Saudi Arabia.
Today we receive a gift from Mr. Abdul Malik al-Houthi, and this initiative is not for the first time, but has been repeated for 4 years now. It confirms that the Yemeni people stand by the Palestinian people in all their needs, even though Yemen suffers from the Saudi war and siege. Palestine was and still is in the heart of every Yemeni, and we thank these great people for their generosity and these kind feelings.
The Palestinian cause is one of the top issues of consideration for Yemen's leadership. A few weeks ago, Yemenis launched a fundraising campaign to support Palestinian resistance groups. The campaign has raised more than $2 million so far.
Once again, Yemenis have proved that they are willing to share everything they have with their Palestinian brothers, even though they are going through harsh circumstances due to the ongoing Saudi war and the blockade. They say they will also contribute to the liberation of Palestine from the Israeli occupation. Abdul Latif al-Washali, Sana'a.
Indonesia has registered a record number of physician deaths from the coronavirus. During the first half of July, health officials say 114 doctors died from the virus during the mentioned period. Now, that accounts for 20% of all physicians dying in Indonesia since the pandemic began. The country has registered more new COVID cases than any nation in the world in recent days due to the spread of the Delta variant. On Sunday, Indonesia logged over 44,700 new cases and over 1,000 fatalities in 24 hours. The country entered a lockdown on July the 10th. It says some curbs due to end on Tuesday might be extended. In neighboring Vietnam, COVID is also surging, prompting authorities to tighten social distancing measures from Monday in the capital, Hanoi. Meanwhile, COVID-19 cases surge in several EU nations, mainly attributed to that highly contagious Delta variant. The development could have major health and economic implications. Jerome Hughes brings us more.
Following an easing of restrictions in the EU and UK, coronavirus cases across Western Europe are on a sharp upward curve. The Delta variant, first identified in India and which spreads much more easily, is being blamed.
The world is becoming a village, so people travel, it's hard to contain.
See all the people here, and some people are not that careful, I think, so...
One word for me, go to vaccine.
The vast majority of young adults and children in the EU have not been vaccinated. This is why the virus is moving around so quickly, experts say.
In view of the rapid spread of the highly contagious Delta variant that is raising concerns not only in Europe but also around the globe, it is extremely important to vaccinate, as per national recommendations, as many people in Europe as possible.
Economists say the EU simply cannot afford further lockdowns. Economic forecasts for the 27-nation bloc are positive, but there are a lot of unknowns.
We continue to monitor the situation very closely, And in particular, and obviously, we are monitoring the Delta variant.
The fact that protectionist Donald Trump is no longer in the White House offers some economic hope, senior EU officials are indicating.
In terms of our relationships with the US, we have gone from a winter of discontents to a summer of cooperation.
In several EU nations, including Greece, France and Ireland, young people have staged protests believing they are being forced by governments to take the jab in order to participate in society. We have been getting some views in Belgium.
I mean, it's good that the protest is there, isn't it?
I feel forced to receive something I don't want to receive.
Be vaccinated or not, so you can't force people to do that.
Health authorities in the EU argue it is important that young people do get vaccinated, claiming they may only develop a mild illness initially with COVID-19, but could ultimately go on to suffer from long COVID, which can have life-changing implications. Campaigners say EU leaders are shooting themselves in the foot by not providing more vaccines to less well-off parts of the world. This could lead to new variants that might be resistant to existing vaccines, they warn. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Turkey has condemned a ruling by the top European Union court, allowing companies to ban employees wearing headscarves under certain conditions. Ankara slammed the verdict as a clear violation of religious freedom, adding that the move would exacerbate prejudices against Muslim women in Europe. Now, the Turkish foreign ministry said the ruling was a sign of rising Islamophobia at a time when Muslim women in Europe are being subjected to increasing discrimination for their religious beliefs. The Luxembourg-based EU Court of Justice ruled on Thursday that employers may ban the wearing of visible symbols of religious or political beliefs, such as headscarves. Now, it added, however, in its ruling that respective courts in the bloc's 27 member states should consider whether the ban corresponds to a genuine need on the part of employers.
Shock has rippled through the Muslim community after the European Union's highest court ruled that businesses can sack Muslim women for wearing the hijab if they work face-to-face with customers or if the wearing of the religious clothing causes workspace conflicts. The ruling was in response to a case brought by two German Muslim female workers who were asked by their employers not to wear Islamic headscarves while at work.
The decision has been met by claims that it will further fuel Islamophobia at this crucial time when countries in Europe such as France and Austria are already eliminating freedoms for Muslims, supposedly to combat extremism.
In Britain, several religious MPs, including Muslims and a Sikh, chastised the court, labelling the ruling as Islamophobic and deeply flawed. In addition, I spoke with a London-based female Muslim media personality about her fears for the future of Muslims in Europe.
To me, I feel oppressed, to be honest, by this decision. And I feel that I am now limited in my identity and my freedom of rights, freedom of belief, all the values that are actually supposedly meant to be Western, modern. Yes, part of it is a symbol of my faith, but it's so much more if you were to really understand what the hijab actually means, or any sort of religious symbol. It is not just coming from one aspect. I think it's really unfair. And it's, again, it is targeting a particular group, especially the Muslim women, because we are the ones that are known to be wearing the headscarf known as the hijab.
Many activists warned that following the niqab ban, European powers would target the hijab next. They were right. But if the battle to protect the hijab is lost, what comes next? Robert Carter, London.
Meanwhile, concerns grow as the number of COVID-19 infections among Tokyo Olympic athletes is on the rise. Organizers of the Games reported 3 new cases on Sunday. There were also 10 new cases connected to the Olympics, including media contractors and other personnel. An International Olympic Committee member who had been inoculated against COVID-19 tested positive for the virus upon landing in Tokyo. This shows the high infection risks even from vaccinated attendees. Infection rates are climbing among the general population of the capital, topping 1,000 new cases for 4 consecutive days. Polls show many Japanese oppose holding the games with the influx of overseas visitors it entails. Now to Thailand, where clashes have erupted between police and protesters angry at the government's handling of the coronavirus outbreak there. Police fired water cannons and tear gas to disperse protesters in Bangkok. Demonstrators were marching on the office of Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha. They called on him to step down. Now more than 1,000 people took part in the rally despite an expanded coronavirus lockdown. They believe the government has acted poorly in managing this situation. Thailand has recently seen a rise in COVID cases. The surge is blamed on the highly contagious Delta variant that was first identified in India. Now, rescue workers are still searching for survivors in parts of northwestern Europe after rain-triggered floods caused rivers to burst and houses to collapse there. Days of extreme rainfall in Germany and Belgium has so far claimed the lives of 183 people, with many still missing. The death toll could rise even further. In many areas, rescue efforts have been called off, and the focus has now shifted to cleaning operation. The scale of the damage is becoming clear as the water begins to recede and crews clear the streets of debris. Efforts are also underway to restore gas, electricity, and telephone services. European leaders have blamed climate change for the worst floods in decades. Switzerland, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands have also been affected. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, July 18th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast, in IRIB English Radio. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important, because your views help us improve the quality of our programs. And here I do express my deepest condolences on the tragic martyrdom anniversary of the fifth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him, and his progeny, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. Stay with us until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, of course. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. Dear listeners, here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including G. Hojibens from Belgium, Victor Varzin from Russia, one of our regular listeners, and Abdul Alim from India, also one of our regular listeners. And here I do express my appreciation and gratitude to our dear listeners, G. Hojibens, Victor Varzin, and Abdul Alim, for their commitment and support to IRIB English Radio. And of course, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters, including Howard Barnett from England, who has sent us an email, Henry L. Omar Hay from the Philippines has sent us an email, Victor Varzin from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Japan, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Toshio Shibata. And the last but not the least is an email from Michael Sjöberg from Sweden. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters from around the world, dear listeners. After a short break, I will be back with these emails. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with an email from Henry L. Omate from the Philippines. Henry from the Philippines says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Bacolod City, Central Philippines. I missed your broadcast in shortwave for some time since I had difficulty listening to the frequency given. But in the past, I would enjoy listening to your shortwave broadcast very much. I'm lucky to catch you online this evening via your website, parstoday.com/EN. Listening again to your program, Listeners Special, after a long time, was a good experience. Great show, indeed. And so was the Spotlight program. I will be listening again next week. Please kindly send me your frequency schedule of your shortwave broadcast. I'm very much willing to be part of your Listeners Special program. In the past, you interviewed me twice. You can send me the questions and I will be recording my answers and send them back to you via email. Thank you. More power to IRIB English Radio. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Henry L. Omate from the Philippines, and many thanks for sending us this really encouraging and inspiring email. We're so happy that you finally found our website and you could catch the program, because as you said, you had missed the shortwave. So we are happy that you found IRIB English Radio again. And good news. Yes, that's good news. And we have online broadcasting of IRIB English Radio in our website, parstoday.com/EN. But in our website, you can also find the frequency schedule, and there you can maybe catch shortwave radio programs again in your region, Bacolod City in Central Philippines. Many thanks for writing this email to us. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. And this is an EQSL card because of the coronavirus situation. But that's good. Thank you. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Henry L. Omate from the Philippines, we wish you all the best. Tell us your views about our broadcast. And from England, we have an email from Howard Barnett. Howard Barnett from England says, "Dear Sir or Madam in IRIB English Radio, this letter is to thank you all for your beautiful EQSL card, which I received today on Friday 9th July 2021. It's very nice, and a nice gesture from IRIB English Radio in the time of coronavirus pandemic, that sending a paper QSL card is difficult for radio stations. Thank you again, yours sincerely. And salam and warmest greetings to you, Howard Barnett from England. And many thanks for writing this message and this email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, thank God that you enjoyed the EQSL card which you've recently received. You received it on July 9th on Friday 2021. We are so happy that you enjoyed it very much. Yes, that's a nice gesture in the time of coronavirus pandemic, and we have no option other than that, because we really like our listeners around the world. Howard Barnett from England. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Howard Barnett from England. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to your program, listeners, a special this Sunday program. And from Russia, we have an email from Viktor Varzin. Viktor Varzin is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, warm greetings from Russia. Sorry for the delay in responding you. I have some problems with internet devices. You really take care of your radio listeners in all fields. I was so lucky that I received a paper QSL card, and your card is very beautiful. It is also a good decision to send an EQSL card to those listeners who are not able to receive a paper QSL via post during COVID pandemic. But it is very nice that you can have something in hands as a memory from the station. St. Petersburg during the last couple of days has been very sunny. It broke the heat record for 5 days in a row. That was plus 33 to plus 35. That's extremely hot for us in Russia. In 2 days, all air conditioners and ventilators in our city were sold out. I wish a very good summer for you. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran, Viktor Varzin from Russia. And thank you very much for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. You felt sorry for the delay in responding to us. No harms felt, no problem. But anyway, you sent an email to us. Many thanks for that. And you had problem. It seems that you had problem with the internet devices. We are so happy that those problems, those troubles were resolved. It's a nice compliment. You said we really care about our radio listeners in all fields. Yes, we send our dear listeners around the world EQSL cards in the time of pandemic. Yes, we care about our dear listeners around the world. And we don't forget them. And in the time of pandemic, we have designed and prepared and sent our dear listeners EQSL cards. So wait for one of them very soon, Viktor Varzin from Russia. And you said St. Petersburg in Russia, in your country, has experienced very hot weather. You said it's sunny in your region, in Russia, in your country, which is a cold region. And you said it broke heat record for 5 days in a row. That was plus 33 to plus 35 in Iran, which is a hot region and a warm country, a warm and dry country. It is plus 40, about, of course. And it's so much in your country, in your whole country, Russia, plus 35 is so much, and it's not just in your country. As you may know, it's really hot around the world, everywhere around the world, including Canada and the U.S., have experienced really hot weather, and there are reports of deaths because of so much heat in Canada and the U.S. I think you've heard about it in the news. And also you said air conditioners and ventilators in your city were sold out all. That was interesting. We wish you a very good summer, Viktor Varzin from Russia, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And from Japan, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Toshio Shibata. Toshio Shibata from Japan says, "Hello, I'm resending this report. Could you please consider to send me an EQSL? It also would be highly appreciated if you could add the transmitter location to the card. I really hope that COVID-19 pandemic will come to an end in Iran. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan, and many thanks for sending us this email. So you've resent this report. Of course, my colleagues will send you an EQSL card. Don't worry about that. And also, we hope that the coronavirus pandemic come to an end everywhere around the world, not just in Iran, everywhere around the world, especially in Japan. You know why? Because in your country, you are holding the Olympic and Paralympic Games just in a few days. I think 3 or 5 days at the time we are broadcasting this program. Toshio Shibata from Japan. Yes, we hope that the COVID-19 pandemic come to an end very soon around the world. Best regards. Yes, Toshio Shibata from Japan, we wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Dear listeners of Listen's Special, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Michael Sjöberg. Michael says, "Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, my name is Michael and I am a DXer from Sweden. I was listening to 9,855 kilohertz on June 18th, 2021 between 2010 and 2020 UTC. The signal strength was good. I listened with my own private antenna in Lindum on west coast of Sweden. I attach a small MP3 file. It would be great if you could confirm my reception by a QSL card. Thank you in advance. Have a nice day." And here we have an email from Michael Sjöberg from Sweden. Michael, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran. And we do express our appreciation to you for sending us this email, and it seems that you've already joined to IRIB English Radio listeners. We are happy for that, and it's great that you found our signal strength good. So you listen to IRIB English Radio programs via your own private antenna in Lindum on the west coast of Sweden. That's great. And yes, we've received your small MP3 file. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. You know why? Because we are in the time of coronavirus pandemic and we can't send you our PayPal QSL cards. For your information, that you've already joined us In the past, we sent our dear listeners paper QSL cards, but now we are sending you EQSL cards. So wait for one of them. Michael Sjöberg from Sweden. Michael, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And you can also follow our website at www.parstoday.com/yen, and there you can find the online broadcast and the archive of our programs and our frequency schedule. Many thanks, Michael, for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And now, dear listeners, we've reached to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Hello and greetings to IRIB English Radio staff, and many thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak with you. My name is Mohammad Reza. I'm from Tehran, Iran. I'm an engineer. I'm interested in English language and listening to shortwave radio, especially IRIB English Radio, which is the best radio station in the world, in my view. You know why? Because it provides the best and most updated programs for all people around the world. You are really unique. I'm a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. I have been listening to your radio since very long time ago. I'm especially very much interested in your cultural and touristic program. I really like this series called Kilos of Iran, which is about the tourist attraction of Iran and Iranian cultures. Thank you very much for producing such programs, and many thanks for respecting different tastes. Please keep up the good job. I wish you all the best.
Dear listeners, before ending this week's edition of Listeners Special again, I do express my deepest condolences on the tragic martyrdom anniversary of Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the fifth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him, and his progeny. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We express our condolences to all the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, and the Imam of our time, beyond all on the occasion of the Shahada of Imam al-Baqir, Salamullahi alayhi, which falls on the 7th of Dhul Hajjah. Imam al-Baqir had a wasiyyah, a will. Part of his will was to Imam al-Sadiq, Salamullahi alayhi, that for 10 years in Mina, the 7th of Dhul Hajjah is when believers start gathering for Hajj. The recommendation is before Yawm al-Arafah, which is the 9th, and Yawm al-Tarwiyah, which is the 8th, for the believers to gather in Mina. The Imam passed a day before that, or was martyred, rather, a day before that. For 10 years, he said to his son, for him to commemorate the demise, the Shahada of Imam al-Baqir in Mina, so that the believers, the Muslimun, those who knew of the Imamah of the Ahlul Bayt, those who were oblivious to that, to all hear about the demise and really the Shahada of Imam al-Baqir, Salamullahi alayh, which is itself this particular will, this wasiyyah of Imam al-Baqir, shows that he was trying to get a message across, similar to Imam al-Husayn, that after his shahada, the commemoration of Imam al-Husayn was something that was upheld by the Ahlul Bayt ever since. Imam al-Baqir wanted the commemoration of his demise where all Muslimin can see and hear about it, because there was something about it, and that is that the authorities caused his death. And so it's a death of shahada, martyrdom, as we have in other ahadith. Although unfortunately, as we've said before, the details of that martyrdom have not been shared with us. We don't have much explanation as to how it occurred, but clearly the various ahadith, including this will of Imam al-Baqir, tell us that the Imam did not pass away a natural death. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this commemoration. We hope that Imam al-Baqir accepts it from us. We hope that we all, although we're not in Mina, and those 10 years have now passed by in many centuries, but that we are included in what he wanted of the people to commemorate that shahada and the objectives he had behind it. What I'd like to discuss in our remembrance of Imam al-Baqir, Salamullahi alayh, briefly, is a matter that I think applies to us today. Imam al-Baqir has been given that title, otherwise his name is Muhammad ibn Ali, Salamullahi alayhima. His name is Muhammad. His nickname, his laqab, as it is referred to, or the word used in Arabic, which means that this is a name given to him. The meaning of the word is someone who splits, the one who splits the seed of the knowledge after the Prophet, or the seed of the knowledge of prophets. The reason why Imam al-Baqir is known for that is the knowledge of the Holy Prophet for various reasons for now close to a century has been kept from the people. The narration of hadith was restricted to certain individuals who did not pass on the knowledge of the Prophet, the Sunnah of the Prophet as it was. Fabrications began to emerge. Those who knew the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Salamullah alayhi, was put in a position not to be speaking publicly and to share that knowledge. Imam al-Mujtaba similarly, Imam al-Husayn similarly. In different ways, the conditions that they were in, there wasn't much that could be said. The Imams did share their knowledge in different ways, of course, that when we discuss those Imams and their struggle and their plans and how they conducted themselves as the Imams of the Ummah during their time. And Imam Zain al-Abidin was in a very critical time as well. He did his share in training students. We've discussed that matter when discussing Imam Zain al-Abidin. But the reason why Imam al-Baqir is given that title is because on a more public scale, the Imam is now sharing the knowledge of the Prophet and the Prophets on a more public scale. What was not discussed is now being discussed. What was given to the masses as the Sunnah of the Prophet, which wasn't, is now being cleared up, is now being corrected. So, all in all, what we can say is, after a time of misinformation about the teachings of the Prophet, along with some information, the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib were around, the words of Imam al-Mujtaba were around, the words of Imam al-Husayn were around, but amongst a smaller group of people. The masses heard some of the words of the Prophet. They weren't all gone. Some of the words of the Prophet were truly passed on. There were people that received it. Later on, those were recorded. Those were not followers of the Ahlul Bayt, who do not try to get the knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet through the Ahlul Bayt, which is the source that the Prophet himself encouraged, although we don't say other sources, if reliable sources, that we're not going to hear what they have recorded. But these are the people that know it more accurately and know more of it, more details of it, and have understood it on a different scale. So if others share it, we check with the Ahlul Bayt. This is how we conduct ourselves. This is how we approach hadith. If the direction of the Muslim community would have moved in the direction that it had without the input of Imam Zain al-Abidin, and then building off of that Imam al-Baqir, it would not have moved towards compilers of hadith, compiling these ahadith and trying to filter out the wrong, as Bukhari says. That's why he calls it sahih, because he says there were numerous ahadith out there and many of them are not reliable, they're not acceptable, they're not what the Prophet said. I have filtered out the ones that are not acceptable and taken and presented those which are acceptable. This would not have been the result of the direction of the Muslim community without the input of Imam Zain al-Abidin and afterwards Imam al-Baqir. And specifically what we're focusing on here is Imam al-Baqir's effort. Imam al-Baqir had an impact on the entirety of the Muslim community. It is true and obvious that those who accepted him as an Imam al-Muftarad al-Ta'ah, someone whose commands and orders needs to be obeyed, those who saw the Imam as someone who knows the knowledge of the Qur'an and the knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet and the previous revelations by divine decree and God giving it to him, obviously they would benefit more from such a person, because anything he says, whether he says, I heard my father from his father from the Prophet, or he didn't say that, they know it is from the same source. And so it's all reliable and it's all authentic.
those benefited more, the companions Abu Hamza al-Thumali, who was a companion of Imam Zain al-Abidin and then a companion of Imam al-Baqir, he was able to benefit more from this man. Others who weren't were impacted and influenced on a lower scale, but they were still impacted and influenced. These circles of scholars that developed in Medina and the circles of scholarship, discussions, talk of different understandings of what the Prophet has said, what is the ruling in Islam, that becoming a discussion in itself, and it becoming important for people to identify what the actual Islamic ruling is, that itself is very valuable, and that's the impact of what Imam al-Baqir did, in addition to all of which he shared of the Sunnah of the Prophet, which was documented, much of it, in the books of Hadith. Of those who don't identify as Shia, you do find these ahadith, which are generally sayings of the Prophet that Imam al-Baqir has shared. This is why he's given the title.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via Internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
June 28, 2021. on the occasion of the National Judiciary Week and the martyrdom anniversary of Ayatollah Martyr Beheshti and other personalities. There is so much in the field of production that one cannot understand until one has contacted and heard from the people who are active in the issues of production, such as officials in charge of labor issues and laborers themselves. Communication with these active groups is part of popular presence and public communication, and therefore we must pay attention to it. The first benefit of it is that you can hear from them what the main problems are, and secondly, you can explain things to them. It is often the case that organizations have certain policies, some of which are protested against from the outside. They have no bad intention, but they protest because they do not have enough information. In other words, they do not know the reasoning for this decision. So because they do not know, they protest. All right, you could explain it to them. There are some things that need to be explained and clarified. Well, these statements were about the judiciary. By God's favor, a new chapter will begin in the judiciary's branch. And God willing, the same approach and method that was very good in the time of Mr. Raisi in the past 2+ years will continue with its strength, so that there will be even more achievements and more dynamism. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. A strong blow to those trying to create a boycott of the elections. I would also like to say a few things about the elections. This election was truly magnificent. This election that took place was literally an epic created by the people. Well, efforts were being made. They were writing in cyberspace, they are talking in media in order to deny the greatness of this election, but it is of no use. This effort is in vain. It was a big achievement. The analysts who cast their eyes on the elections understand what happened. Where in the world is it common for all opposing propaganda apparatuses, the active and influential ones, to do their utmost to intimidate people with the purpose of discouraging them from participating in the elections? American and English media, as well as the media in some reactionary and notorious countries, focused all their efforts on our elections. Their own agents, coupled with some treacherous Iranian individuals who are living under the flag of the American and the English and who feed for them, began to work since long ago in radio, television and satellite channels and in cyberspace, not just one and two of them, rather hundreds and thousands of them, in order to push the people away from the elections. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.